Well, Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you for, excuse me, your people who came out this night to sit in your presence and to glean from your table. Father, I'm asking the Holy Spirit go throughout these chairs and open up their hearts and the minds and their understanding of your people, that they will be able to digest your word and leave here, Father God, with something to carry them through in the troubling days. And Father, we just thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight, God wants to talk about inconvenience. Excuse me, and the body of Christ does not want to be inconvenienced at all. When God is doing something new, offering us permanent improvement, there is always a danger of temporary inconvenience. Are you hearing this? When God is doing something new, offering us permanent improvement, something the enemy can't take away, there is always the danger of temporary inconvenience. Inconvenience definition is a state or an example of problems or trouble, often causing a delay or loss of comfort. Loss of comfort is what I was really looking at when I looked at this definition. You need to understand that temporary inconvenience is annoying, it's upsetting, stress-producing, and causes us to question whether or not there is a conspiracy afoot designed to make us lose time and lose hope. Amen? Come on. How many of you in here are believing for a healing, and God has said you're healed, but it has not manifested itself yet? You're in a place of temporary inconvenience, so you can receive a permanent improvement in your body. All right? How many of you know that the devil is fighting God's children tooth and nail right now? How many of you know that? Really know that? And he is throwing all of hell at you right now. He isn't holding anything back. God told me a couple years ago, he's coming after my people with everything that hell has. And you're going to have to be prepared to meet him and to defeat him at every turn. And I'm hoping and I'm believing in each one sitting here tonight that you're ready to meet the devil and defeat him at every turn. He does not play fair. He's very ignorant and cruel. He's been fighting me for quite some time, but he hasn't been able to kill me. Are you listening here? I'm hoping that he's been fighting you too, but he hasn't been able to kill you. You want to know how anointed you are of God and how close you are with God? How hard is the devil fighting you? If he's leaving you alone, then you're no threat to him. You're not going to tear down his kingdom. He doesn't care about you. He's only after those who he knows are going to stay the course and tear his kingdom down. Are you wondering why everything's going wrong in your life? The enemy's trying to discourage you and take you to a place of total defeat where you'll say, all right, I give up. And when you say that, you're saying, I'm giving up Christ. I'm giving up my salvation. Devil, just do whatever you want to do, but leave me alone. All right? When we are experiencing temporary inconvenience, it is always for permanent improvement. Whatever the battle or struggle you're facing right now, it won't last forever. The storm will pass and the sun will shine again. It's just a temporary inconvenience. And I know that some of you that's sitting in here, you've been to that place more than one time. The battle has come and come and come, but you're still standing. And so what we say, whatever the battle or struggle you're facing right now, it won't last forever. The storm will pass and the sun will shine again. It is just a temporary inconvenience. And 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. This is Paul speaking. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us and the eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. God says, don't look at your circumstances. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. God tells us, do not look at your circumstance. He says, I am working behind the scenes. I'm working this thing out in your life for your good and His glory. So quit looking at your circumstances. God keeps telling us over and over and over again. And keep your eyes upon God. Isn't that what Paul just said? And Deuteronomy 8:2 says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Why did he do that? This is Israelite children in the wilderness. Why did he do this? To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments. Let's read that again. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. God allowed them to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know. And why did he do this? That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. God allowed certain things to happen to these Israelite children to prove them. Don't you believe that the things you're going through is to test you and to prove you, to see exactly where your heart is at with God, and to show the enemy how strong you are, to show the enemy that you are, he cannot defeat you no matter what he throws at you. Deuteronomy 8:14 says, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Read 14 again. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. See, so many times when we are in betwixt and between, and God gets us out of the betwixt and between, we just soon forget what God did, and we go on our merry way and forget God also. We're no different than the Israelite children. And verse 15 said, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not. Why? That he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. Whatever you're going through, God is testing you to see if you'll stay. He already knows whether or not you're going to stay the course, but he still has to test you to let you see how strong you really are in your walk with God. A lot of people think, you know, they get all puffed up with pride, and they just think they've attained, and they can do all this, that, and the other. And boy, when the trouble comes, the testings of God come, then you really see what you're made of. And some of us have to say, not very good stuff. Amen. Did you notice in Deuteronomy 8:3, the Bible says, God suffered them to hunger. That means God let them get hungry. He let them get thirsty. He let them get in tight places in times of distress and discomfort. God allowed this to happen. Are you listening to what God's saying to you tonight? Sometimes God will let you get in trouble. He will let you get hungry. He will let you get into a place with your back against the wall. He will let you stand before a Red Sea with the Egyptian army closing in on you. He will let you go through the fiery furnace. He will let you spend the night in a hungry den of lions. Why? So he can prove you, put your faith to the test, find out what is in your heart. How many people do you know? I know we all know quite a few who, the minute the tests start, they curse God and leave God. They grumble and moan and groan and complain because, after all, God, I gave my heart to you and I'm serving you. I should not have to have any inconvenience in my life whatsoever. Not so. Not so. And the reason why the body of Christ is in the state that it's in is because pastors have not been teaching their people that, and the people have been sitting in the pulpits dying on the vine. The truth has not been told, and God right now is making the truth be heard, and he's bringing his people out of bondage, and he's bringing them into his marvelous light, I'm hearing him say, because you've been tested to the very limit of your souls. But the good, so I said, so he can, the reason why he do this, so he can prove you, put your faith to the test, find out what is in your heart. But the good news is, according to 2 Corinthians 4:15, it's just a temporary inconvenience. Temporal for means for a while, for a season, lasting only for a limited period of time. Stop there. How many times has God had you in a test? And it goes on and on and on. And you're growing weary of the inconvenience. And you say, God, when is this thing ever going to end? And he says, daughter or son, be still, because there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Then your next word is, says, where is the end of the tunnel? I don't know how many times I said it to God. And God said, there is an end to the tunnel and there is a light at the end. Keep going. I'm walking through this tunnel with you. See, the body of Christ says, understand that when you're in those fiery furnaces, God is in there with you. God told me one time, daughter, every valley you go down into, I'm there with you. And I'm holding your hand and we're walking this out together. If the body of Christ would just understand that they never go through anything alone, that God is always in there with you. We know that in Job, where Satan goes before God and he's calling you by name and said, well, what about Nancy? And so God will say, go ahead, you can have Nancy. You can do anything you want to do with Nancy, but you can't kill her. And God told me years ago that I had gone through my Job experience. He's now the whole body of Christ is going through the Job experience. But because the body of Christ didn't understand about the Job experience, they didn't make it. A lot of them didn't make it. They fell in the wilderness. And God doesn't want you to ever fall in the wilderness ever again. He's calling us into the marvelous light tonight. And he wants us to stay there. There is a harvest of souls out there that need to be ministered to. If you're not right with God, if you're not strong in the Lord, you will not be able to minister to those lost souls. This is why God tests you. This is why God tries you. Are you? God's been testing and trying me for 40 years. And I'm thinking, well, boy, now I've attained. I've gone through this little 40-year thing. And there's nothing else God can test me with. But lo and behold, here comes another test. And then I say, not again, God. Not again, God. But he said, you can do it, or I wouldn't put you through it. But what's the word of God tell you? He never gives you more than you can carry. Isn't that what it says? And so if he's calling you, one time I was in a test. I said, God, I can't do this. He said, yes, you can. You just don't want to. Because it's hard. And you're just growing weary. You don't want to, but come on, you can do this or I would not put you in this situation. Are you understanding this? How is God going to bring integrity into you if you're not tried and tested? How is he going to do that? How are you going to know how strong you are when the winds really come if you're not tested before the big storm comes? Come on. Think about this tonight. You came here this evening to hear that what you are going through won't last forever. The storm doesn't last forever. So I'm telling you that right now. I've heard a lot of complaining here lately about your storms. Excuse me. The storm doesn't last forever. That emotion battle isn't eternal. That financial struggle isn't eternal. Now listen to this, guys. These are things everybody's going through. That sickness isn't eternal. That job that makes you miserable isn't eternal. The pain of betrayal and deception isn't eternal. It's temporary. Are you listening? You have to understand that it's only temporary. You're going to give in. You're going to cave in to the wiles of the enemy and you won't make it. And so many people are going to fall with you. You have to stay strong in the Lord. You have to. I may be crying today, but I'll be smiling again in a little while. I may be broke today, but I'll have more than enough in a little while. See, these are things you should be saying to yourself. I may be in pain today, but my healing is on its way. I may be walking today, but my ride it's on its way. I may be in Section 8 low-income housing today, but I got my eye on a sweet little three-bedroom brick home with a garage and a laundry room with washer and dryer inside the house. I'm not always going to have to go to the laundromat to wash my clothes. I may be on food stamps today, but I told you it's only temporary. You know, I'm sorry, guys, you think I'm never going to go there. Well, you just signed a little agreement with the devil, and he's going to take you there, and God's going to allow you to go there to show you what it's all about. It's just a temporary inconvenience, like when they have to turn the water off to fix the pipes, like when your internet service gets interrupted, like when your TV program gets interrupted and they say, please excuse us, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Some of us experience technical difficulties more often than we care to. Or they shut off my lights because I couldn't pay my light bill, or they threaten to kick me out because I'm behind on my rent. It's just a temporary inconvenience. Life is full of temporary inconveniences. Get that down your spirit. Life is full of temporary inconveniences. And if you're sitting here tonight and you say, I never have any inconveniences, then I want to talk to you because you're an angel from God. Every true child of God has inconveniences. I don't care who you are. Nobody enjoys these temporary inconveniences, but there is a positive side to them. It sure makes you feel good when lights come back on, right? And when the internet service is restored, when your water comes back on, when your TV program comes back on the air, makes you feel really good. Every now and then my daughter says, Mom, don't take a shower right now because I'm going to turn the water off. So I'm in a temporary inconvenience until she says, okay, you can. The water's back on again, right? You feel really good. You run and get your shower real quick before she decides she's going to do more work on her water pipes, right? That's happening because we're doing something to our kitchen. Temporary inconvenience indicates change. This is a problem. It indicates change, and the body does not want to be inconvenienced. Don't take away my pacifier. Come on. Don't take away my pornography now. Come on, you're interfering with my life. Don't take away my little bottle. You see that? We do not want to make the changes that are necessary if we are to see permanent improvement. I had somebody complaining to me that I'm ministering to the other day, and they said, I just have to get out of this drink. And I said, well, only you can take the bottle away, but I'm not ready to give the bottle up. I then quit complaining. See, they didn't want to change to get to where, they had to change to get free from being an alcoholic. All right? So what are you bound to? And every now and then you get disgusted with it and you want to be free from it, but you're not willing to suffer. Your little flesh says, don't you suffer. Make me suffer. You keep pampering me. And so then you stay in that bondage. We do not want to make the changes that are necessary if we are to see permanent improvement. God is calling us to permanent improvement. We have to be permanently improved if we're going to be ministers to the lost and dying souls. We just have to be. God is challenging us to bring forth the world of peace, which God created in the beginning. And he talked about we have to walk in perfect peace this morning. There is not one of us that couldn't do with a little temporary inconvenience for permanent improvement. Every now and then with our song services, we need a little bit of inconvenience so that Aaron can get permanent improvement. Amen? Come on. The wilderness was never supposed to be fun. We're talking about the Israelite children, even you. The wilderness, every time you go into one of these things, it's a wilderness, right? It wasn't supposed to be comfortable or enjoyable. It was supposed to be difficult and undesirable. It was supposed to be hot during the day and freezing cold at night. The ground was supposed to be hard. They were supposed to get hungry and thirsty. They were supposed to hate the wilderness and find it undesirable. They were supposed to hate being surrounded by deadly poisonous snakes and scorpions. This is what the Israelite children were supposed to be doing. They were supposed to love God and be thankful for his daily provisions. but hate the wilderness. And see, we need to love God and thank Him for our daily provisions, but hate the wilderness. God intended for it to be a temporary inconvenience. He wanted them to hate the wilderness so much that they would run into their promised land. And how many of you know, people, do you know that God has them in the wilderness? And He's trying to get them to hate that place so they run into Him, but they just will not give up their wilderness experience. The problem was they got adjusted to a wilderness mentality. That's important. The problem was they got adjusted to a wilderness mentality. They got comfortable just scraping by, and they got satisfied with just enough. Just enough to put gas in the car, just enough to buy some milk and bread and maybe some bologna, just enough to survive, just enough peace to keep my sanity, but not enough to sleep at night. See that? Remember how God told me a couple years ago, daughter, you settle for second best when I want you to have the very best. I guess I had that there just enough mentality, and God took me out of that thing, and I've been seeking the very best, and the enemy keeps coming after me and ask me, who do you think you are that you deserve the very best? I am a child of the Most High God. I walk in righteousness and I walk in holiness, and I speak the truth. That's who I am, devil. And God told me that I deserve the very best. We don't have to lick the crumbs up off the floor. We are sitting at the table with God, eating His fresh manna every day. All right, just enough faith to believe I'll go to heaven when I die, but not enough to believe I can walk in divine health here and now. Yes, God, that gave them just enough. God gave them manna from heaven and water from the rock, and their clothes didn't wear out and their shoes didn't wear out, but all of that was just provision for their journey. So whatever God gives you is for the journey, the assignment that you're on. It was to sustain them until they came to the promised land. They were supposed to transition from the wilderness of just enough to the promised land of more than enough. Someone in here needs to tell yourself tonight, it is just a temporary inconvenience, and I'm not getting stuck here. Just need to tell yourself that right now. This ache in my foot is just a temporary inconvenience, and I'm not going to get stuck here. This pain in my back from catching somebody this morning is just a temporary inconvenience, and I'm not going to get stuck here. You see that? I want you to get this down in your spirit. When you're running low on gas, and by that I mean the Word of God, you know, and you just think you can't go on any further, go to the pump and get refilled. Go to the Word and get refilled again. And let God regenerize you. All right. Yes, God's been good to me, but I'm going somewhere is what you should be saying to yourself. God has been good to me, but I'm going somewhere. In other words, He's been good to me right now, but there's so much more that He wants me to have, and I'm going after that so much more. God gave some of you some really, really good words this morning. I hope you're hanging on to them, and I hope you carry them through the rest of your life. Paul said, our light affliction, this is 2 Corinthians 4:17. Paul said, our light affliction, but then he said, which is for a moment. Paul was in a terrible strait, but he said, it's just a light affliction, and it's just going to last a moment, and it lasted longer than a moment. But that was his mindset. He knew that God was going to pull him through. What is your mindset? Are you addicted to drugs? Are you an alcoholic? What is your mindset? God can take you out of that mindset. God can set you free. God can give you all that you have need of. Sometimes you hear people talk about midnight. It is not morning, it is not night, it is midnight. How many of you have been through a midnight hour? Amen. The midnight hour is critical because that is when it can go either way. When you're walking your midnight hour with God, you can either keep on going with God or you can reject God. More people die in their midnight hour than any other time. Midnight is a turning point when one day has ended and another begins. And I want you to always remember that when your midnight hour comes, and they do come, it is going to end and a brand new day lies before you. Don't give in to that midnight hour. Don't give in to that place that Satan has placed you and he's trying to make you think God is not enough. Let him see that you know that you know that you know that your God, your Father in heaven, is more powerful than anything that Satan throws at you. And he will, your God will see you through. Paul and Silas, with backs beaten and humiliated, thrown into the most filthy, darkest part of their prison, at midnight they prayed and sang praises unto God. And God shook the jailhouse off its foundations, opened every door, and set every prisoner free, and brought salvation to the jailer and all his house, all because they chose to praise God in their midnight hour. And you'll find that in Acts 16:25. All these people got set free because Paul and Silas decided to praise God and not have a boo-hoo party. What about you? How many people are you setting free as they watch you go through your midnight hour and you cave into that midnight hour? All those people around about you who have been watching you, they cave in with you because they were trusting in you. Even though we tell you not to look at people, people still do. And because they were looking at you and didn't have their eyes fully on God, they cave in also. God's always told us that it's just not you that falls. The friends around you fall with you. All right? Don't you fall. And don't cause somebody else to stumble and fall. The good news today is God still works this night shift. All right? The good thing I like about midnight is it is going in 60 seconds. Amen? Come on. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of nights I'm sitting up praying in the midnight hour. And then all of a sudden it's gone. The light's peeking through the window. I feel the release in the spirit. And I can go back and lay back down again because the midnight hour is over. Amen? Come on. Some of you guys just in here, you just need to get it together. You need to get all that starch out of you, and you just need to start enjoying God. You need to start dancing and rejoicing. You start playing the tambourines and waving your flags and whatever it takes to get yourself set free. That raise a hallelujah, that'll set you free if you really sing it. You know, and mean it with all of your heart. But if you're just going to mouth words, it won't do anything to you. How about the song that God just wrote recently where his son died after they prayed and prayed and prayed? His little baby died. And the next day after the baby died, he wrote the beautiful song about God is a God of miracles. He didn't die in his midnight hour. He didn't. He rejoiced in God because he knows that his Father in heaven knows all things. And he knew that it was his time for his baby to go home. Are you listening here tonight? And this is our problem. We don't know that God knows all things or don't believe he does. And we think we're God. All right, I said the good news today is God still works the night shift. The good thing I like about midnight is it is going in 60 seconds. In 60 seconds, you can go from pain to praise. From sick to well. From dark to light. From lost to found, from weeping to rejoicing, from broke, busted, and disgusted to divine overflow. Some of you in here need to hear that, from broke, busted, and disgusted to divine overflow. Because some of you are broke, busted, and disgusted, right? And you need that divine overflow. Well, remember God kept telling me to tell you that he can bless us in a wink of his eye. He can change everything around about you just by blinking his eye. And I'm one of the people, my eyes blink all the time, and I hope God's does too, because he needs to do a lot of blinking, doesn't he? Amen? And you know, it just might be one of them blinks that what you need, you get. We never know. God's children need to praise God like you believe the word of God, and you know it is just a temporary inconvenience that you're going through. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And Psalm 34:19 tells us, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Weeping may endure for a night. There was about 4 years I went through where I would keep saying, yeah, I'd be crying at night out to God. But I would say, God, joy is going to be there when the lights come on in the morning. And he was always there. The joy was always there. He always saw me through my midnight hour. How about you? Hasn't he seen you through many midnight hours? That's our God. That's our God, and he loves you. And he is always with you. Right now, think to yourself, it will be over in a minute. 60 seconds, God can blink his eye and it's all going to be over. Job had troubles and pain, but it was only for a nine-month period of his life, and God gave him double for his trouble. Well, he's going to give, some of you, he's going to give you a whole bank, right? For all the trouble you've been through. I mean, you're really going to get a lot back in return. And I'm serious about that because God told me everything that the Palmer and Cankworm has stolen from you through your life, he has to return it at this given time. He has to. He has no choice. It's not his choice any longer. God said he's returning to you, back to you, everything they have stolen. Paul said, our light affliction, which is only for a moment, worketh for us. The light affliction that they were going through, he said it was working for them, not against them. We need to be exactly like Paul and say, it is working for me. It is working for me. It is working for me. Come on. When I was getting this together, I kept saying, it's working for me, God. It's really working for me. Amen. When your heart doesn't want to beat right, it's working perfect, God. It's working for me. My midnight hour is over. Are you listening to this? When your friends come against you, God's working things out for you. It doesn't matter. When your friends leave you, God's word is still working for you. And he's putting all things together, making them all brand new. Even when the devil was hitting me and attacking me, attacking my body, and laying, this is things you should be saying. Let's start this over again. Even when the devil was hitting me, attacking my body and lying on me and attacking my marriage, attacking my finances, attacking my mind, my ministry, it is working for me. Come on. You won't have a ministry if you don't think like this. God can't bless you if you don't think like this. It's your life, it's your temple, it's your ministry, your job. You are the one that has to believe that it's working, that God is working for you. I can't even make you believe that. I'm not even going to try. God said, all I have to do is give it to you, and what you do with it is totally up to you. You can spit it in the trash as you go out the door. I really don't care. But at least you know it. Amen? Someone in here tonight needs to hear that it is working for you. Maybe not what you feel right now, but the Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We know that all things work together for good. And that's Romans 8:28. It says for good to them that love the Lord and are the called. Or do you love God? Or are you just sitting in the house of God acting like you love God? You really have to love God for these scriptures to be able to draw on these scriptures. You just can't be sitting in here pretending. You have to really love him. You have to be living for him 100%. And you can do it. You can do it. You can. I've had to go through some experiences that I never thought I'd ever go through. Just so I could stand up here and tell you with pure confidence that God is able. That God is able. And some of the things I went through, I said, God, why do I have to go through this? And the next bunch of people he sends in here, I know why I had to go through it, because you're messed up. And God had to lead me into that valley to let me see what the people were going to be like when they came in and were messed up, and show me how to minister to them with love and compassion, long suffering. See that? You know, come on. Are you really going to work for God or are you not? Did you really mean it when you said, here I am, Lord, use me? Well, I did that. I was having a perfectly good life until I got born again. Always went to church. I wasn't a bad girl, but I was happy. The devil didn't touch me in any way, shape, or form. I had everything you could possibly want. And then I gave my heart. I got born again. And all hell broke loose. And I said, God, what is this? He said, I heard you when you said, here I am, use me. And this goes along with it. He said, the devil heard it too. So now he's attacking you, and he will continue to attack you. But I'll be there, and I will strengthen you, and you will not go under. Just keep moving. So I'm telling you, this is what goes along with the program. Just trust God and just keep moving. I'm not dead. Even though the devil's tried to kill me, I'm not dead. Come on. I was drowned 3 times. Pulled me up out of the bottom of the water and did a little resuscitation, whatever you call that thing, CPR. Come on. Been in the hospital, about died in the hospital. He can't kill you. Get that through your head. He cannot kill you. God told, he said that the devil, he said, you do it. Read the word in Job. You can do anything you want to them, to Job, but you cannot kill him. And if you read about Job, that devil did a lot of things to Job, stole everything he had. But in the end, he had double, did he not? Come on. I don't know where I'm at now. Where am I at, Nancy? Do what? All right, I said, okay. All right, we read up Romans 8:28. Now, we need to understand that we are going from a featherweight to a heavyweight. All right, you men sitting in here, you think you're all macho and that and then some. And some of you women do too. So, you're going to go from a featherweight to a heavyweight. And a heavyweight really has to bear the brunt of going through your trials and tribulations to make you a heavyweight. If you watch wrestlers that are fake, I hear, they have to go through a lot before they get into the championship, right? Well, you're going to have to go through a lot before you get to the championship. All right, your punches are going to carry some weight when you become a heavyweight. Your prayers are going to carry some weight. And when you speak the name of Jesus, it's going to carry some weight. When you open your mouth and start praising God, it's going to carry some weight. So do you want to stay a featherweight or do you want to become a heavyweight? If you want to become a heavyweight, the devil's standing right beside you. I'm not going to make this sweet for you. The devil's standing right there beside you. And he's, okay, you want to be a heavyweight? Well, let's just box a little bit here. You know? He'll knock you down, but what's the Bible say? Pull yourself back up again. Righteous man will fall 7 times in one day, but you always get back up again. The devil might knock you down, but you don't have to stay down. If you stay down because you become a coward and you just don't want to fight him no more and you just soon just waltz through life and go to hell in the end. That's what it amounts to. But if you fight the good fight of faith, you're going to end up in heavenly places with Christ. All right, I said, I'm through there, right? Everybody needs to tell the devil, I am not a featherweight anymore. Do that in your mind. I'm not a featherweight anymore. And mean it. Because he's listening. Aha, now your boxing match has begun right now. He's going to fight you. He's going to fight you and he's going to show you what you're made of. You're going to show him what you're made of. You're made of good stuff. God only makes good stuff. He doesn't make junk. And you're going to show him that you're strong in the Lord. And you're going to show him that it doesn't matter what he throws your way. No matter how many midnight hours you have, you're going to rise up. And you're going to be the child of God that God's called you forth to be. You're going to say, I know how to pray now. I know how to praise now. I know how to stand on that word now. I know how to rebuke the devil now. I know how to sing in the midnight hour. Remember when I was told you there for about a month, God, every night I was, he got me awake singing hallelujah. And he said, daughter, you're fighting one of the biggest battles you've ever fought. And he said, I had to wake you up and have you praise. So if you get awake and you're singing, keep right on singing, boy. Sing as hard as you can sing. Sing a little louder. Amen. Because that devil's deaf at times. Because God's woke you up and he says, you're in a battle. You're in a fight for your life. See, I can deal with that. Can you deal with that? Can you deal with the fact that God wakes you up and said, you're in a fight for your life? Can you really handle that? And then I sometimes say, oh, God, I don't want to get out of bed and pray. He says, you're going to lose the battle. So I stumble out of bed and go out in the study and start praying, start praising. And then when it all lifts, stumble back into bed again. But at least I got up and I fought. And the enemy didn't take me out. Amen. I know you can say, I no longer fight as one that beateth the air. That's what Paul said. I know how to throw a punch and I know how to land it. In the name of Jesus, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. Come on. You know how to throw a punch. You know how to land it. And that doesn't mean you're laying down your sword. That means you're standing up to the devil and using your flags and praising God. Amen. using whatever your weapon is, of warfare it is, and you just praise God until the atmosphere over you lifts. While we look not at the things which are seen, look means, that's what the Word of God said. We read that earlier. While we look at the things which are seen, look means to consider, think on, contemplate, regard, observe, and set your attention on. So even though you're looking at the things around about you, they aren't affecting you because you know your Father in heaven has this thing already taken care of you. You're already in the victory circle. See, if you don't really believe this, then God can't help you. He can't. I can tell you for a fact, I've been like Paul and Silas. And I've been in the worst midnight hour of anybody want to go through. But because I know how to praise, God came through. Come on. He doesn't care how old you are. He doesn't care how young you are. He doesn't care. He doesn't care how much of the word you know. Do you use it? Do you apply it? Or you sit there and cry, oh, here I go through troubles again. Come on. Yes, I know there are giants in the land. This is what you should be saying. But I choose not to look at them. I am not regarding them or considering or observing them. And why? Because I am regarding, contemplating, considering, and observing something else. You're doing all that knowing that what you're saying here is that you have your eyes upon God. You have your eyes upon the prize. You might think I am crazy, but the truth is I am not looking at the giants because I am looking at the invisible. Somebody said, well, look, you're sick, you're dying. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at the invisible, and the invisible is what you are healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. I'll just use that as an example. That's the invisible thing you're looking at. Yes, giant, I know you're there, but I can't really see you anymore because the invisible has become so big it has blocked you out. Come on. I know the pain's there. I know my back hurts. I know I can't walk on my foot. You know, I know that I have an earache, whatever it is. But the invisible has become so big. In other words, your faith has become so big. It blocks out all the circumstances. And all you do is keep your eyes on the prize. The invisible, the eternal, the never changing, the unalterable, the immutable, the undeniable realities of the faith dimension. That's what the invisible is. I feel sorry for people sitting in the house of God and don't know their Father. I feel sorry for people sitting in the house of God and don't walk in the Spirit. They have religious spirits. You don't know what you're missing out on. And when this glory drop truly comes in all of its fullness, you're going to be standing on the riverbank and saying, why didn't I believe? Because God said, if you don't get in the river now, when the glory does come in its fullness, you're not going to be able to get into it. In other words, if you don't trust and believe God's word now, a little bit later, you say, oh, I went in the river. Now it's going to be too late because God's going to pass you right on by. I didn't make that up. God said that. In other words, I have my eyes full of the Word of God. I can't see sickness anymore. All I can see is by His stripes you were healed. I can't see that financial problem anymore. All I can see is my God shall supply all your need. I can't see me struggling through the wilderness of just enough anymore. All I can see is my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I can ask or think according to the power that worketh in me. Praise God. If you get that in your spirit, the enemy's going to leave you. He's going to leave you because this is a time when God has promised us that He's breaking off all those chains and He's setting us free from anything the enemy's trying to bring our way. Think on this. I can see something. I see me blessed. I see me healed. I see my children off drugs, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, doing the work of God. Think on this. I can see something. You're no longer blind. I see me blessed. I see me healed. I see my children off drugs, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, doing the work of God. I see me in my new car. It is okay if you can't see it. It doesn't offend me. I see it. I see me in my new house. I see me in my new anointing. I see me married to that man and woman of God who is holy and virtuous and pure. You're seeing something. Yes, I am experiencing some technical difficulties. A little temporary inconvenience, but it will be over in a minute, and I can make it because I have caught a glimpse of the eternal. The things which are seen are temporal, and temporal means subject to change. Get ready for change. Start talking about where you are going instead of where you have been. Start talking about what you are expecting instead of what you are experiencing. Let's read that again, and everyone look at what you're reading. Get ready for change. Start talking about where you are going instead of where you have been. Start talking about what you are expecting instead of what you are experiencing. When things slow down, when the trip gets a little rough, remember, temporary inconvenience for permanent improvement. A little passing difficulty for a glorious future. Maybe a little rough now, but worth it for wondrous permanent improvement. How many of you know that it was a little rough each time you went through it? But it was all said and done. It was a permanent improvement that you really enjoyed. Come on. I'm hearing God say, you can't make this stuff up no matter how hard you try. Because the throne of grace is sending out the word daily to his people who have ears to hear and eyes to see. What are you hearing and what are you seeing? This is God speaking to you. What are you hearing and what are you seeing? And I'm hearing God say, if you aren't careful and watchful, you will waste away to nothing and you will miss the boat when it comes by. Where am I at? A little passing difficulty? No. We can make it through the temporary inconveniences. We really can. You really can. I have, I am, and I always will. And if I can, and I am, and always will, you can too. As long as we can make it through the temporary inconveniences, as long as we can see the eternal. As long as we keep our eyes on the word, we can make it. You know, and when I wrote that down, our eyes on the word, sometimes it's your prophetic word that you get. You have to keep your prophetic word before you and listen to it over and over and over again, because the enemy tries to steal it the second you get it. Or he tries to make you walk in disbelief. Oh, that's not nothing. Well, you know, one day you wish you would have believed, because God is on the move. I don't know what you may be going through today, but Jesus stopped by to tell you it's just a temporary inconvenience. He told me that last night, so I wrote it down. I'm just like you. I get out of bed the same as you do. I put my shoes on. I have problems too. Just because I sold out to God doesn't mean problems went away. They got worse. Because you're supposed to be an example to those around about you that you're trying to get saved. And so instead of you complaining about your valley experiences, you need to be praising God and telling everybody how wonderful God is. All right? And then this is what God said. I have not brought you to a place of inconvenience, but I have brought you to a broad place where all I have ordained you to do will come forth. So if you've been in a place of inconvenience, God is saying to you tonight, I have not brought you to a place of inconvenience tonight, but I have brought you to a broad place where all I have ordained you to do will come forth. Now, do you believe that word? Everything God's ever spoken into your life through the prophetic word, he wants to bring it to pass right now. And I'm hearing him say he wants your life to come into fruition with his word. He wants all the signs, wonders, and miracles that need to be accomplished in your life to be accomplished, so you'll be a sign and a wonder to the world when you start ministering to the world. Are you listening here tonight? You know, people come, God told me when he told me to start the church, it would be a swinging door church. In other words, people would come in when they had a need and then leave again. And we just have a handful of staff that stays, but other people that come in just come in because they need something from God. So if you're here tonight, it's because whether you believe or not, you really need something from God, and God wants to give it to you. He wants to just fill you to overflowing. And he wants you to trust God from this moment forth and start believing God. I don't care what you were taught. If you weren't before the Father and having the Holy Spirit teach you, then you might need to reteach yourself. In other words, you might need to get before the Father and say, Father, I want all doctrine thrown out of my life, and I want the Holy Spirit to teach me the truth, because I want to be a sign and a wonder for the people. I want to go forth and I want to win those souls for Christ. See, when I was first called into ministry, I wanted to go away to Bible school like everybody does, and God said, no. My Holy Spirit will teach you. I don't want you to have man's doctrine embedded in you, because of the ministry I call you forth to do. You don't need to be tied up with man's doctrine. So how about you? Is the Holy Spirit teaching you? Or are you just going by what other people have told you? You see, we listen to so many things that aren't of God, and we say they're gospel, and really they're not. And then we get bound up, we get hindered, and we stay there. And God's trying to bring you into the truth, into the light. But it's up to you whether or not you're going to move into the truth and into the light, or if you're just going to stay bound. And God doesn't care if you just sit in a chair. He doesn't care about that. And if you just want to be one that's passive and you just want to sit in a chair until you die, then make your way to heaven. That's fine. But really what God has called people forth to be is warriors. To fight the good fight of faith. To get out there, you know, to be a little bit inconvenienced and to get out there and win souls for Christ. And when you take that step of faith, the devil took that step of faith too with you. And so he's going to say to you, okay, you think you're all that and then some. I'm going to stop you because I have all of hell behind me and I can stop you. And you're going to say, like Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. Are you listening here tonight? Some of you men sitting here tonight, I don't know you, haven't seen you before, but God's calling men into the ministry. There's not enough true men in the ministry, not enough holy men, not enough righteous men in the ministry. And he's out looking right now for men who will die out to self and become holy and righteous that he can use to minister the word of truth. Why do you think this younger generation, God keeps prophesying that this younger generation is going to be like lions and they're going to come in and he's going to use them to preach the gospel, because you older guys still like to be passive and just sit in your seats and be comfortable. You don't want to fight the devil. You're understanding this? And God said he wants to use the old and the young together, because the old have a lot of wisdom that the young is not going to have, but they're going to have to be taught that wisdom. So God's saying, where are you at tonight? What level are you in him? Are you a heavyweight or are you a lightweight? And you don't care about being anything but lightweight. You don't want to advance in his kingdom. Only you know that answer. But tonight, God wants to drop an anointing on you where you're not going to care about the temporary inconveniences. All you're going to know is that God needs you in his service. And he's calling you tonight to be one of those warriors that will give your all. Never look back. Never say, God, I didn't know it's going to be this hard. I've said that many times in my young years. I never knew it was going to be this hard. And he told me, I said, why didn't you tell me it's going to be this hard? He said, because you would have never taken the assignment. He said, I know you. He said, so I'm walking you through it one day at a time. And so this is what God will do with you. He won't tell you what the end is or what the middle is. He'll walk you through it one day at a time. And some days when it's really hard, you're going to say, God, this is not fair. You duped me into doing this thing. And then you're saying, come on, you can do it. So I have to prove to you that I can do it. And I keep on walking till the battle's won. That's the way it works. So where are you at right now tonight? If you really and truly don't mind being inconvenienced for God, and you really and truly want to sell out and give him your all, that one song we sang is, you know, that we surrendered everything to God. See, if you're religious, you don't understand those songs. You don't understand those words, and you think we're crazy. But if you really are walking close to God, you know why those words are in those songs. And you receive them down into your spirit, man, because they'll make you grow. The altar's open.